I had heard of Athens, the long walls, and the Piraeus described by those who had been here. But everything was so much larger than I had imagined. Once we entered the Piraeus, we were surrounded by carts traveling this way and that, slaves and porters loading and unloading cargo and people. More people than I thought existed in the entire world. Draco's eyes were nearly as large as mine. He was the same age as my brother, purchased by my father a few years before he died, in the market of Plataea. He had been raised almost as a member of our family, and was nearly a second elder brother to me. He was Persian. He had told me once his real name was Deryavinush, but no one in Plataea could pronounce it, and so he took the name Draco. I stood and waited with Draco at my side, while Alistair inquired about our ship. He soon beckoned to us and we followed. It was then that I spotted my first warship, then another, and another. Each was carefully stored in an immense boathouse, with its sails and mast down. I could see only the prows with their giant eyes, but the ships seemed to extend back into their stalls forever and ever. I could not tear my gaze from them until Draco gripped my shoulder. "Look!" I turned, and there was a warship coming into port. Its sails were furled, and it glided smoothly as its rowers powered it slowly toward yet another boathouse on the shore. I had never seen a ship so big. Then again, I had seen no ship before today, but it looked unthinkably large to my young eyes. Draco and I smiled at each other, but kept up with my brother. He would not be pleased if we trailed behind, and he could be prickly at times. He had been the man of the house since father died, and had raised me as if I was his son and not his brother. He did not well tolerate disobedience. A few minutes later, we stopped in front of a large ship already filled with cargo. It was not nearly so big as the warships, but still looked enormous to me. Alistair spoke to an imposing and well-formed man I soon learned was the captain, and then beckoned to Draco and me to approach.
"Take it out," Alistair said.
Draco carefully removed the large pack he had carried from our home, set it down, opened it, and then removed the layers of olive leaves used to cushion the precious crater, the large vessel made to hold wine, inside. He pulled out the crater, wrapped carefully in linen and unwrapped it, revealing the incredible work of art for which my brother and myself to a lesser degree were known.
"Magnificent. I think I have the better side of this bargain,"
said the captain as he gazed at the carefully fashioned reddish figures on a background of black. A ship with sails and rowers, sea life and more. He called for one of his men to take it and carefully stow it, then slapped my brother on the back and led us onto his ship. A crater for passage to and from Corinth. Many would think the captain mad, but we did not create much in the way of common pottery. In our workshop, my father had created pieces that outshone the best Athens had to offer. My brother had followed in his footsteps and had trained me since the time I was young. We did not create mere pieces to use, but treasures to be shown off and admired. That is why I had scoffed at the pieces I had glimpsed in the market. Their decoration was crude to my eyes. I could do better when I was 8. We were allowed a small area on the ship for our own. It was not much more than a space to sleep, but we did not need more. My brother said the voyage to Corinth was not a long one. We could have taken the land route, but travel by sea was faster. I was given the run of the ship, as long as I stayed out of the way. I gazed at the busy port and out at the sea. We lived not all that far from the sea, but I had not seen it before today. It looked vast beyond imagining to me, and I began to get an idea of just how far away some of the places I had heard about were from my home. The world had grown larger on this day. I stood in amazement later, gazing at all the activity as the rowers guided us out of the harbor, which was no easy task with the numerous boats, great and small, coming and going. They were mostly cargo ships, but also fishing boats and even small rowboats. Ours was a world of travel by sea, and it seemed to me all the boats and ships in the world were gathered here. The winds were favorable and the sails unfurled when we were out of the harbor. We picked up speed and the coast began to slowly slip past our starboard side. I gazed out across the wine dark sea. Somewhere out there was the island of Crete, the Cyclades and Troy, where my ancestors had fought in the war still sung about. The sea was the path to the entire world. It could take one anywhere. The rocking of the ship unsettled my stomach, and I felt not at all well. I tried sitting down and closing my eyes, but that only made the feeling worse. After a bit, I had to run to the side of the ship so as not to make a mess.
"You'll grow used to it, boy,"